And now, from the Mammoth Oasis, it's the woman who thinks she has something to talk about today, but she's not sure if she can remember what it is, so we'll find out in just a minute as we listen to the sports widow, Molly Erdman.
That's a good intro. It'll divide our truly, interested, curious fans with our, I tried listeners, because they'll either be like, oh, let's find out if she has something to talk about, or, oh, well, if they don't even know, I'm out of here.
Right.
I have something.
I have stuff to talk about, too.
I don't think I remembered what I wanted to talk about, but I thought of something else.
That's great. Do you think it's what you wanted to talk about or something different?
It's different.
Wow. Okay. That's pretty exciting for us.
Yeah, it's not that great.
Do you want to lead in with that, or is it not great enough to lead in with?
No, it's not great enough to lead in with.
Well, I mean, there's other things to talk about. You know, we talked a couple months ago about we were in a sports lull or whatever.
Yeah.
And right now is not supposed to be such a thing, because the baseball season's supposed to be kind of getting into form, and things are happening you can start to comment on. And it's the playoffs in hockey and basketball. Again, traditionally, that's a lot of excitement. Things on the line there. But it just feels like there's just nothing going on. And I think there's a couple reasons.
Playoffs are boring.
Playoffs have been extremely boring. In basketball, it's been a foregone conclusion. You know the teams that are going to be in it, Maul? You do.
Foregone conclusion? Didn't I make a joke about that? That sounds like the name of either a racehorse or a dance team.
Foregone conclusion does sound like a racehorse name.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I would not be surprised
if there is a horse name.
I mean, there's so many horse names, and you register a horse name and no one else can use that name for racehorses.
Yeah.
And I don't know how long it's good for, but I mean, there's crazy names.
I saw footage once of a horse race where there was a horse named Hoof Hearted.
Mm-hmm.
So that when the announcer was calling in and got really excited, it sounded like Who Farted.
Oh, I'm sure that's why they did the name.
Absolutely.
It's like boat names, if you could do a clever
the C
boat
word.
Name. Yes.
Yeah.
The C word, yes. I believe my ex-wife's dad had a boat called the Passing Wind.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, I think so.
rich people get to name the funnest things.
Yes, and rich people love farts, too. I don't know that he was rich per se, but he had a boat.
You okay with those headphones?
I'm not. I'm having a lot of trouble with the headphones. But they like farts. That's my experience.
Okay.
And here, so that's all been traditionally boring. It's interesting you talk about the horse racing. We can stop for a second and depart to that.
That's actually what I was going to talk about.
Horse racing?
Yeah.
Truly?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then let's get into it, because this past weekend was, do you know what it was? What
it was
race?
The Preakness.
Right, which is what number race in the Triple Crown?
Second.
Very good. First being?
The Kentucky Derby
and
then the Belmont Stakes.
Very good. I got to stop being so patronizing.
Yes, thanks.
I'll be more patronizing.
Perfect.
So there's no Triple Crown, and that's the only way that horse racing becomes interesting. It's on this weekend. It determines
if it will be interesting later.
Yes. Because after the first week, Kentucky Derby, now you got one horse to pay attention to.
And
that horse that won the Kentucky Derby finished second to last in the other race.
Yeah. Not even close.
Yeah.
Well, here's my thinking on horse racing.
Go on.
And I don't think I'm
alone.
I am not an aggressive animal rights activist by any means, but why is there still horse racing? This seems so, because I don't think I've actually watched a race in a long time, and we happened to change the channel right as the race was starting on Saturday. I am just watching, and I'm like, why is this a thing still?
And because people like to gamble.
No, I understand that, but I just feel like, haven't we come to a point where this is mean? Like, these horses don't want to do this?
It's interesting. I feel like society is going in two directions. Like, boxing seems to be minimized because it's so brutal and everything.
Yeah.
But
MMA, at least they're choosing to do it.
Well, true. That's the big thing. The circus just stopped this week.
Yeah.
So that's another tangent we can go on based on the horse racing thing, but I want to stick on horse racing for a second. And this story. I went to one horse race.
Mm-hmm.
Race. It was the Breeders' Cup, which is a huge event. Other than the Triple Crown, it's like the biggest annual event.
Uh-huh.
And it moves from racetrack to racetrack each year.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
So it was in Arlington Heights when I was
outside
in touring company. Yep. And a couple of people, Matt and Jenny Hagel, got to write a show about horse racing.
Right. Everyone wants to see a comedic spin on horse racing for an hour and a half.
Right. And we did it in Arlington Heights. Then we got to go to the race.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone went to the race except for one guy, Frank Caietti, who said he called in a bet. He wanted the five horse. The number five, he put $5 on the five horse in the fifth race.
Okay.
And it was 35-1 odds, and it won. He
oh,
had
wow.
no idea. It was like the biggest upset of the whole day.
That's awesome.
Yeah. He won like 400, or 5 times 30 is what, $600? He won like $600, $500 or something on the bet. And maybe it was 25-1.
I'm still trying to figure out this math.
Well, 6 times 50. Was it 6 times 5 is 30.
Yeah, you said 5 times 30. Oof. That's 150.
Yeah, but... Yeah, 5 times 30. Yeah, 150. I guess that's what he won. 150.
Okay.
Either way, 30-1 or whatever
yeah,
like that is
yeah.
great. Especially when you had no idea. Like,
right.
it could have been the favorite, the
yeah.
five horse. So that was the good thing that happened that day. He won a
yeah.
lot of money. Bad thing that happened is one of the horses during the race, right in front of us, broke its leg.
Mm-hmm.
Threw the rider off. The horse continued to run, probably
oh,
in great pain.
God.
With a broken leg. They stopped it, and then they euthanized it right on the track.
Yep.
Now, they put up a big tent and everything, and it's not like you hear a gunshot. How horrific would that
Ugh.
Be? But, you know, like, you knew what was going on.
Yeah.
And it just, from that point on...
It brings the room down.
Certainly.
Yeah.
And I that's the day I decided to no longer...
I went to
horse racing
one day at Santa Anita out here.
Also a famous racetrack.
And listen, I love to gamble. And that part of it was very appealing
yeah.
to me. And it was beautiful. You know, like you got a view of the mountains. Really nice. And it didn't, it didn't bother me then.
Yeah.
And this was probably, it was before you lived here. So I'm going to say like 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that speaks to, I think in general, our sensitivities as a society are changing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, because I don't find myself to be very sensitive to things
right.
like that. But I saw this yesterday and I was like, this is very dumb.
It is.
These rich idiots.
And that's, and again, it's you know, as long as the massive disparity between wealth and not wealthy
yeah.
exists, those folks are going to want the most barbaric entertainment they can get.
Well, yeah, it does. It's all, you know, like even football, it
oh,
seems
certainly.
Like a flashback to like the gladiators.
Well, and the football game isn't nowadays, seats are so expensive and you have to buy season tickets.
Yeah, it's only for the wealthy.
Exactly. Now, watching it on TV is the opiate of the masses.
Except you still have to be wealthy to get cable these days, am I right?
Oh, my God.
you
can get the regular games, though,
I know.
Over the year.
I will say I did enjoy that, and maybe this is totally typical in every horse race, but the commentator, sports interviewer woman having to be on horseback to interview the jockey was very funny to me.
Yes.
I enjoyed it.
Yes, that stuff is funny. And the names are fun.
Yeah, I didn't like many of the names.
Yeah.
What was it, like Cloud...
Cloud Computing or something
yeah,
like that.
And then what
Classic
was the one?
Empire.
That's fine.
Hence.
What was the one that... I don't remember. I didn't like him. There was no foregone conclusion, that's
no,
for sure.
No, when we buy our horse. No, we won't do that. We do dog races.
See, that I'm fine with because no one's riding the dogs.
I did turtle races. I hosted turtle races
sure.
years ago at a bar. I didn't like that either because...
Oh, I think I remember.
Because a drunk woman, they let the drunks handle the turtles.
Well, you shouldn't do anything like this in a bar.
No, true.
Yeah.
And turtles actually have salmonella and everything.
Ugh.
Very dirty. But something like that is fine. You can't really I guess you could gamble on anything, right?
Oh, sure.
Or like baby races where they're just all lined
yeah.
up. Fun stuff.
As
and,
long
you
as
know.
No one's riding them or whipping
right,
them, I
right.
don't care.
And maybe if you just let the horses run on their own.
Right. See, that would be really
like
interesting.
That's...
Because it's not a horse race, it's a jockey race.
That's
exactly, I mean, it is a horse. Well, I mean, it's both. But.
Well, the thing that makes the horses run faster is the whipping. So yes. That's where you get into the problem. Also, yes. They have, you know, the bridle up in their mouth and stuff. If you were to just allow the horses to race, you train them to race so they know when the bell goes, they run around mm-hmm. the thing. That's the test of what horses is got. Because Michael Jordan was not the greatest physical specimen in the NBA.
But he was great at horse racing.
No.
Oh.
But he wanted to win the most. Mm. So you would remove the element of like being forced into running. And what horse has the heart of a champion on its
own? Right. And I think this theory actually segues well into our daughter Valerie's soccer playing.
Right.
If a child is just left on a soccer field with a team playing,
what will they do?
What will they do?
Should we put that video up of the 20-second video of like the team playing and then Valerie?
It's up to you.
The headline might have to be "Father Heckles Child on Soccer Field," because at one point I when I was watching, I'm taping her. So we've talked about how our daughter is kind of openly defiant. In playing soccer.
Yeah.
Like, she knows we want her to play, and so she doesn't play, even though she probably wants to play.
Right. And that's the important distinction that I keep wanting to mention, is this is not, we want her to play aggressively, and she has no interest. She is interested.
Right.
And yesterday, she had practice, and she had a great time.
Yes. But when it gets to the game, and she knows people are watching, I don't know if it's performance anxiety, like... Everyone is watching.
She may just still not really know what she's supposed to do.
True. And she and again, at that age, they get better at it. But that's the thing. Like, some kids are just, you know, like superstar Eleanor on the team is a child who loves to play.
Oh, she killed me yesterday when she yelled at Anthony to pass the ball.
Yes.
It's great. I'll tell you what, though. I feel like we talk about Valerie's soccer maybe too much. But I will say, if you're debating whether to put your child in sport, know that the team picture makes it worthwhile. Because we got our pictures yesterday, just at the point where I was like, this was very dumb. And this team picture is a work of art.
Yeah. And
it's the greatest.
And I was giving some advice on kids yesterday. Is it John Hartman? You know him? He's Second City guy. I was talking to him.
Where?
At an audition.
Oh.
And he doesn't have any kids. Somehow, I don't know how it came up, but I was like, here's a fail. If you ever find yourself having to gather a number of children together.
Could happen to anyone.
Sure. At an age under the, you know, like under 7 years old.
Yeah.
The quiet game is a great way to quiet a bunch of kids down. And I'm going to tell you what it is right now. You gotta
I think everyone knows what the quiet game is.
But you got to kind of yell and shout. Everybody, they love to play it.
Yeah, they love games.
And the game is just who can stay quietest the longest.
Yeah, no one doesn't know what the quiet game is.
But I'm saying it works really well.
Sure.
People may not think it's like that should be employed more often. It should be like it should be as common as hide and seek. Like,
listen,
kids should come up and say, hey, we want to play the quiet game.
Sure. I taught an improv class one time to a bunch of 5 and 6 year olds.
Oh.
And I played Who Can Walk Slowest.
Ah, good game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Play that. You should play that with your team tonight.
Maybe I will.
You should do all like
kid games,
things you would do in a kid game,
quiet game.
So that was actually an actual conversation on a sport that is contemporary. I'm proud of you and me.
Ugh.
Us. I'm proud of us.
All right.
But here's the other reason I want to get into why sports seems so boring right now. Generally speaking, people are far more interested in sports than politics, I would say.
Ah, yes.
Right? CNN, I would bet their ratings are less than ESPN's most of the time.
Yes.
And I'd be interested to see over the course of the last 6 months how those two things have arced.
Well, if our household watching is any indication.
Now, I watched far more than the average amount of ESPN.
Yes.
I probably still do.
Yeah, maybe.
But I have supplanted most of that with CNN and the very occasional Fox News
watching.
You know,
that is really, I don't know why it didn't occur to me sooner, but you're absolutely right, because I was wondering, why don't I know more about what's going on? And it's because the background noise for me is not ESPN anymore, it's CNN.
Yes. So should this be Politics Widow? I don't know enough about politics, although I will say this. and I mean this, I would debate any Republican member of Congress or, on any subject, and I would feel confident that I would win that debate.
All right.
I am so unimpressed. And all most,
most Democrats, the Republican congressmen out there
who want an easy, you want to just take on some
listening.
Dude?
There's probably only five or six Republican members of Congress
who listen to this podcast.
Show, but, and we'll take any of them.
I'd actually be surprised if there was any.
We'll even take them on a state level.
I'll take on anyone in a debate, really.
City council.
Because I'm a pretty good debater. Wouldn't you say, Maul?
You are. I think that you may have some knowledge shortcomings that you may not even realize until you, because you say on any topic, I think
right.
there are some topics that you're going to not know about.
I've seen Paul Ryan discuss many topics.
Yeah.
I'm confident that that guy's a fucking moron.
Okay.
And I'm sorry. I like Wisconsin as a state, but Paul Walker and Paul Ryan are perhaps two of the most despicable, vile,
I understand that.
Stupid
I'm not,
people I've ever met in my life. And I've never even met them.
I am not arguing that. I'm just saying...
Some policy
without,
things I may have no idea.
Yes. Without the knowledge to back things up, you're not necessarily going to...
No. And then I would have to depend on my skills in belittling and catching
and
people
not,
in errors and stuff. But that's also where I feel very confident I could throw the other person off their game.
Okay.
I'm not saying I'd fight fair, Maul.
You are basically talking like a politician right now of someone be like, I'm better than you. I know more. And just, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I am.
Okay.
That's just what's got me upset.
But anyway,
and
I,
so,
think
so that,
I think
that has
right.
taken over for most of us. It's much more interesting, really. Even if it were a... I'm sorry, did I... What?
What's much more interesting?
The word, like, the, all this...
These, I don't know if interesting is the word.
It could be terrifying as well.
Like, you can't not, like, I wake up every morning being like, what I miss?
Right, yes. And not in a great way.
No. But it's just really interesting because I think so much of my sports knowledge was sort of just absorbed, and now I don't feel like I have much.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to, even though this has been covered completely, I'm really looking forward to, in a few years, the books that are going to come out on this, the behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah.
You, because as crazy as it is out in the public, you have to assume it's even nuttier behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And beyond that, you know, if you disagree with what I say, call in and we'll debate. But that's where I stand on that. And I think because of it, it is, it's terrifying and interesting, but it doesn't leave much room for you to take in other information.
Do you know what I just realized also is that so I don't know if we've talked about this before, but Joe has a strong connection to Kate Baldwin on CNN, like, because that's who's on in the morning, like after he drops off Valerie, comes home, and every day it's like, Kate, what's that dress, and always has like some comment about what she's wearing.
I do comment on her clothes.
But I'm realizing that's exactly what you used to do with the female anchors on ESPN.
Lindsay.
Exactly.
Lindsay Zarniak.
Yeah.
And of course, your doppelganger, Wendy Nix.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this before, and I guess, I don't know if it's an advantage or a disadvantage, but women have much more variety in what they are able to wear in those scenarios. You say disadvantage.
Oh, if every day you got to put on something camera appropriate.
As opposed to the same suit you could wear every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Listen, don't get me started. Like, this is where...
It is true, because if any Lindsay, Kate wore the same blouse 2 days in a row...
Yeah.
I'd notice.
I know you would.
But the same suit, I wouldn't notice.
No, absolutely.
Do you notice men's suits?
Nope. I mean, I do notice ties.
Okay.
That's
about it for the guys, though.
Yeah.
That's all the flair they get.
Yeah.
And you could have a hanger of ties in your car.
But here's the difference is I notice ties, and I would think, like, you should wear that tie again. And maybe they do, and it wouldn't be that big of a deal.
Right.
But, like, wearing the same... dress. I mean, what a waste to have all these
different
outfits.
And yet sometimes you comment on this as much as I do. The weather women on LA local news are often dressed as if they are going to a gala.
Not even just the weather women. The
anchors. Yes, the anchors sometimes
look like they were at a like a fundraiser at the symphony and got a phone call and was like, you're supposed to be on the air in 5 minutes.
Right. And they yes, they don't look like they're going somewhere. Yeah. They look like they just came from something else.
Or a baby shower or something. Yeah. Yeah. And listen, this is where our sensitivities have changed over time. Like, you wear whatever you want, ladies. It's fine. I'm saying if I were doing the news, I would want to wear a suit. I watch these anchors, especially the ones like at the Today Show. They sit at a very awkward height table.
Yes.
So you see their entire torso.
It's a clear table often.
You have to sit up so straight and they're in these like tight fitting dresses. It's like, don't you want to just take a breather and wear a blazer over that? I would. Yeah. Or like a nice poofy blouse.
Oh, poofy blouse.
I feel like you have to be a model to be an anchor on TV these
days. Well, that is also, that's another issue that goes into the whole, like the Fox News. Have you ever seen those things of all the women who work at Fox News are all clones?
I mean, I get that, you know, like you're on camera and there's a level of attractiveness that people want you to have. But I mean, even just the way people dress, like I feel like when I was a young adult and was watching like the Today Show, Katie Couric would wear like a dress, but with a jacket, like a blazer and cardigans and things like that. Like it was different. It was
a different time.
That's really what I was going to say. It was a different time.
Well, it was. And you know what? Every time is a different time.
But I do want to clarify. I'm not saying like I think the women now are like, oh, what are these floozies wearing these dresses? I just feel like this is now how the environment that whether they want to or not, like this is how women anchors have to dress. Like, God forbid one of them wore pants.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think.
Oh, God, I sound so old. God forbid one of them put on a pair of trousers.
But I do think it's still, look, the sexism still exists. They can't do all the off-air sexual harassment anymore. So what they can do is they can just make a dress code so that the women look sexual enough while they're on the air.
Yeah.
And I would actually counter, I don't know as much about the news end, but I think like in terms of the sports end, the women in sports have become much more knowledgeable now.
That's definitely true.
There's not, and there's more of them.
Yes, much more.
And it's the same thing as with a lot of these, like we can use the example of improv, where when I started, certainly, which was not long before you, in Chicago at least,
there was
8-1 ratio or something like
but usually one, maybe two women on an improv team.
Right. And just because of the fact that the pool of men was 1,000 and the pool of women was 100, you had more good men.
Yeah.
Not that the ratio was better,
right,
but the number was astronomically more.
Yeah.
And so then the women had to kind of almost be better to come up through there. Now it's probably more like a 60-40, and the quality amongst all of them is probably better.
So, but I think with the sports
anchoring,
as you were saying, I think the women have to be better. Because for a while I was like, oh, this is such a, you know, they feel like they have to bring women in. There's no way that they know as much. This is me thinking this.
Yes.
And now I think a lot of these women probably have to know more than the men to just make it to that point.
And the same thing exists with, you know,
most things.
The TV attractiveness. You know, Katie Nolan is a woman who had a sports show, and she's attractive, and she was knowledgeable, too. I don't think she gets that show at all if she's not as attractive.
No.
You know? And she, even if she's more knowledgeable.
Yeah. Well, the ones who are less attractive have to be even more knowledgeable.
Yes.
The dowdy, middle-aged woman sports anchor is probably the most knowledgeable sports person.
Yes. Well, and a lot of them actually, at this current time, there's still a lot of transition from columnists and newspaper reporters into the television world because they need more TV people with that kind of knowledge and experience and connections, and they're pulling them from the newspapers, which are all failing anyway.
And you can tell ones who get on air.
The New York Times is failing. The failing New York Times.
Yeah. You can tell the ones who get on air. It's like, oh, you mainly write.
Yeah. But they are very knowledgeable.
But ESPN has let go a lot of people.
Yes. That was not one of the considerations with who they let go. I actually didn't have too many objections to the people they let go.
Yeah.
Because I thought, for the most part, they were on the margins anyway.
Right.
of quality. No offense to any of those people if you want to work with me later on. You're the exception to the rule. Did I talk about socks yet?
Not today.
I'd like to for a moment. So I've bought the same kind of socks for the last 5 years.
At least.
Right. I've probably bought, let's say, six packs of them maybe over the time. Maybe okay. one a year or something. And they're Puma socks, and they're like, what, the runner socks are kind of...
Yeah,
they're low
like the
socks.
Ankle socks. Yeah.
They're not the super low ones you can't see in the shoes, but they're ankle socks. And the exact same socks, and the you know same packaging. I get them at Costco. The quality on these socks has gone down so far. I have pairs of socks that I originally bought that are a little bit stretched out on the elastic,
yeah.
but the bottoms are still solid,
mm-hmm.
versus the new ones I've purchased fall apart nearly immediately. So they made them thinner and less durable, and it's very angry-fying to me.
It's very angry-fying
to me.
Well, I think a strongly worded letter to the Puma Corporation is
well, I'm just, they are not, they are our anti-sponsor today. Although I do have a good pair of Puma shoes I bought. Those are nice.
It's interesting. I also have bought Puma ankle socks for many years.
Same, yeah,
but
you've
from
bought
different sources.
Oh.
And slightly different socks. The ones, and I'll be honest, I don't know which I got from where. There's one generation of socks, and they're also the older ones, so maybe the elastic is just, but they, when I wear them with like my heavy duty sneakers, they inevitably, the heels slip down and go into the shoe.
That's no good.
Yes, but the other kind that I have are much better, and they have this like band that goes around the arch.
Yep.
And those are much, much better.
Those
but
are
I also find this phenomenon recently that like a lot of elastic and things, I don't know if it's the dryness here or something, but like
it does.
I'll just take out a pair of socks and they just like
disintegrate.
They
powder.
Make this like sound.
Yes.
The elastic is just gone.
I do. I think the dryness has something to do with it here.
It's happened to a couple of pairs of my shoes.
Yeah, it gives
like the
out.
Straps on sandals just go. Rah!
They dry and they poof. I have a pair of underwear that I wear for softball because I don't want to.
Because they're so lucky.
No.
I know.
I don't want to sweat through my good ones.
Ugh.
So they're real gross.
Because he doesn't wash them.
No, I do wash them.
I know.
But the elastic's busted on those basically, so I have them under my sliding pants and to hold them on.
Okay.
What were you going to say?
Nothing.
I have some. I have a bad scrape on my elbow from softball.
Yeah, no one can see it.
But it's a bad scrape from sliding. I made a great catch.
Okay.
Okay. I think that's a pretty good episode.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys be the judge. But we actually got it out. It's Tuesday and not Monday, but whatevs. Friday, we're going to try to do, maybe we'll try tennis again?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll see about that. And we'll try to Facebook Friday for you guys. And you can listen to us on iTunes, which you're probably already doing. You can follow us on Facebook at Sports Widow Show or on Twitter, Sports Widow Show.
Yep.
Those are the only things,
that's
right?
It. That's none of that now. Instagram or Snapchat or whatnot.
Yeah. And again, this
we do
is,
have an Etsy shop.
We do. This is the month of May. And so we were trying to be more. April was a disaster and we were trying to correct things in May. But the format is always going through. Changes until next January when we will announce either our full-time format or we will just
retire. Yeah,
it's okay. One or the other. Both
well,
equally.
Only 7 months to go.
Yeah. So keep listening for the inevitable retirement. No, you don't want to do that. We wouldn't.
Foregone conclusion.
Yes, maybe that's what should be our show. Foregone conclusion, and then it's like, well, it's a foregone conclusion. Then we go to argue it. And,
oh, okay.
And we'll work that out. Don't please, no one patent or what is it? Copyright.
Register the name.
Foregone. I'm sure it's already been done. How about foreskin conclusion?
Oh,
you didn't want me to go there.
Okay. Is that what you call circumcision? Foreskin conclusion.
That's exactly it. It's a that could be like a shop that does adult circumcisions.
Oh God.
Foreskin conclusion. I don't know. I like it. I like it. All right.
All right.
Okay. Thanks for listening, folks. And please follow us, review us, like us, do all the things on all the sites if you have time. Or don't.
Bye. Thank you.